you don't, there should be one in the pew in front of you. But if you would, this morning, open your Bible.
Mark, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done that which she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Wherefore I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we're thankful, God, to be in your house today. We're thankful for the time we've had to sing and worship your name. And now, God, we ask you that you'd help us as we read your word, that we would worship you as well. God, we pray that as the word of God is preached, Lord, that it would be what you would have for your people. And God, that they might worship you because they may say of a truth that you've spoken to them today. And we ask you, Father, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, on Memorial Day, we remember the dead, those who have given their life, who have passed away. And actually, it began back after the Civil War. You know, there was a great rift in the country, and it sort of became a thing that sort of helped everybody as they remembered those who had fallen and given their lives in that conflict in our nation. And today we look back and we see many who we must be grateful for and grateful to for the lives that they spent to assure us our freedom. And I just think that, you know, we need to remember those things. We need to remember those people. Because nobody wants to be in that place. Amen? Nobody wants to be in that place. Nobody wants to be where people may be trying to kill them. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to be away from home. Nobody does. But there are those who have. They've gone away from home and they've hazarded their lives. And so today we want to honor them. And this morning, as we look here in the Gospel of Mark, we see someone else, and I find it extremely important that Jesus said that what she had done would be spoken of for a memorial of her. And sometimes, you know, when I read that, I feel like I'm almost obligated to talk to people about it. Well, I mean, Jesus thought it was important. Amen? So if he thought it was important and he said that a memorial of her should be made, then I think that sometimes I feel obligated I need to preach about it. And there's a bunch of messages in here. It was hard for me to focus as I read this because there are so many things in here in this account. But this morning, I want us to think about some things this morning, three things this morning, that this woman gave, that made her life a memorial in the eyes of Jesus. Now that's no small task. He says here, and you notice, and what always it always amazes me, and something we have to always remember, that the Bible says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that was back when they were writing it, when Paul was writing it. The mystery of iniquity, the devil, sin, the world of flesh is always going to be working in the background of everything that we try to do and try to say and try to accomplish. It is always going to be trying to work in the background. Here in chapter 14, verse number 1, here they are. The Bible says that the chief priests and scribes, they sought how they might take him by, and the word there is craft. That doesn't mean they're going to build a box for him, a nice box for him or something. It means they were going to come and they're trying to devise a plan. They're trying to be crafty, clever, sneaky. They wanted to take him by craft and put him to death. That's what they wanted to do. But I want you to notice, it says, but they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Let me ask you a question. Why did they take down Jesus' body from the cross? Because the Sabbath day was coming. And they didn't want to hang it up there. In these guys' minds, think about it, they got their way. In their minds, they thought they got their way. See, the Bible says that a man deviseth his way. He says, but his steps are ordered by the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter. You and I need to remember, no matter how crafty the world is and the devil is, and no matter how crafty they feel like they are, that they are going to lose. There's nothing that's going to come that God doesn't already know is going to come. Nothing going to come in my life. Nothing going to come in your life. It's not already known by Him. Amen? I like that. I like that. That's why I like that song. Do you know how it feels? Yeah, I know how it feels. Have somebody who loved me enough to die and give themselves for me so that I could be safe with Him. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. We got to remember that, because we are in a world that doesn't want us to accomplish anything for God. That's why the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Y'all need to roar. Amen. You need to just used to roar. I've never seen a lion yet. I never heard it on any of the documentaries or anything like that where a lion went, roar. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so loud. No, I never heard a lion yet that apologized for doing what's natural. Amen. Child of God, if you're born again, there are some things that should come natural to you. Amen. And you ought not to be ashamed or apologize for it. Amen. Never apologize. There are always those, and let's look at this. Let's get in the message and we'll get all those things. Because they're all running through my head because of this. They planned on doing this. Notice now as we go into verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. But this woman gave up some things. She gave up some things. One of the first things she gave up was her position of safety. She gave up her position of safety. There was no one who was twisting her arm and said, here, now you take this alabaster box and you go in there and you break it on his head. Go in there in the middle of all this that's going on. Interrupt the dinner. Break it and pour it on his head. Not break it on his head. Break it and pour it on his head. No one was making her do this. You understand? This woman gave up a position of safety. Obscurity. And you know, that's the way it is a lot of times. You'll be hearing conversations and you and I as a Christian, we just want to sort of fade into the background. Hoping no one will say anything too provocative to where we just absolutely can't say nothing. get past it. We've got to get past that. You know, I go out here and I see people park out in this parking lot all the time. And every time I do, the Holy Spirit says, you going to go witness to them? Well, I was thinking about it. Maybe as soon as are you going to go witness to them? Yes, sir. I'm going to go witness to them. I count how many there are. I grab enough tracts and I go out. I stick in my back pocket. I talk to them first and I give them the tracts last. Because if you go out there carrying a thing of tracts, you know, they're going to be like, oh, what's going to do? But if you go out, you know, I just try to go out and be conversant. But the thing is, folks, that we can't afford to stay in a position of safety. We can't afford it. People are going to die and go to hell. And we want to sit someplace safe and just sort of sit the battle out. Let other people go fight. No, folks, this woman gave up her position of safety. The Bible tells me, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We can't afford to just sit in safety. No one made her. She decided that there was something to do. David, when Goliath was out there, what did David do? He heard all, what, did you hear what he said about our God? Hey, did you guys hear what he said? What did you hear what he's talking about? You guys know what God promised us. And you hear this guy talking, this Philistine out here. You hear what he's saying. And he said, and they rebuked him. He said, is there not a cause? Am I supposed to just stand here? You may want to stand there. But David said, I'm not. He wasn't sent there to join the army. His dad sent him there to take some provisions and to get the offering from his brothers. And that's all he sent him to do. But David wasn't satisfied with that. There was more to be done. And he saw it and did something about it. We can sit around. And I'm not against, people put things on Facebook and that's great. And you can click on like. I like it. You can do that all day long. But it's not the same as going out and doing something about it. It makes us feel good, doesn't it?
I liked it.
That means I'm one of you. I'm in agreement. Yeah, but what are we doing? It's nice that we agree, but when are we going to get out of our place of safety and do something about it? Do something about it. No one ever backed down who wasn't challenged to back down. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. But they ain't going to fold if we don't attack. If we don't advance, those gates will never fall. Amen. Preacher, you're right. Thank you. Amen. She gave up her position of safety. That's why he said, everybody needs to remember her. She didn't have to do it, but she did. Notice next what it says. It says, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment that was spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. She gave up her prophet. She gave up her profit. They said that could have been sold for more than 300 pence. That's like a year's wages. That one box of spikenard, very valuable, precious oil, cost a year's wages. And she just broke it and poured it on some guy's head. She gave up her profit. She said, it doesn't matter. This does me no good if Jesus needs it. It does me no good. When David came up to offer sacrifice because he disobeyed God and so many Israelites died, and they came up to the mountain And Aruna was up there, and he had that threshing floor there. He had the yoke, he had the oxen, and it was his livelihood. Do you understand that? That threshing floor was his livelihood. That's how he made his living. People bringing him their oats and such, and he put it on there and grind it up for them. That's what he did for a living. And when the David king came up and said, I need to buy this stuff, I've got to make a sacrifice. The Bible says, and I believe it says it for a reason. It says that Aruna gave it as a king gives to David. He said, I'll give it to you like a king. A king, that means like somebody who, it doesn't matter. I've got 20 more over there. You can have that one. Aruna didn't have 20 more. He had that one. That was it. It's all he had. And he said, you can have it. What a guy. A man who had a heart for his country and for his God. He gave his prophet. But King David said, nay, I shall surely buy it of thee of a price. For I will not offer unto God of that which hath cost me nothing. Listen, if it doesn't cost you anything to do what you're doing for God, maybe you need to do a little more. Maybe you need to do a little more. I heard people say, give until it hurts. The Bible says, give until it feels good. God loves a begrudging giver. That's what God loves. He loves a begrudging giver. Well, all right, I'll give it, I guess. We should stop passing that offering plate. Wish the pastor would stop telling us what we need. No, God loves a cheerful giver. Hey, you know, it's time to do something at the church and it's a work day. Well, we've got to go to work day. I'm sorry, God doesn't love that. God loves it when he says, woohoo, we're going to go to work day. We're going to do something for God today. We're going to go and pass out some tracts. We're going to invite some people to heaven. Amen. God loves that. But this stuff, well, man, I could be doing something else right now. You can keep it. You may as well. Because you ain't giving nothing to God. She not only gave up her position of comfort, she gave up her prophet. She gave up something that was worth a year's wages. If it could have been sold and given to the poor, it could have been sold to buy whatever she needed to buy. Amen? She gave up a prophet. The Bible said, Jesus said, he said, lay not up for yourself silver and gold, where rust and moth doth corrupt, where thieves break through their steel. But lay you up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and neither thieves break through and steal. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why she gave up a prophet. All she could think about was Jesus. That's all she could think about. I want you, you know, we've mentioned before how they were trying by taking by craft. Oh, they're being so crafty. We're gonna figure out a plan, and we're going to get somebody to betray him, and we'll buy him with money, and then we'll come up and we'll take him at night. And if we have the trial in the middle of the night, it won't be as much a big deal because people will be sleeping. You know, that's how they eliminated slavery in Great Britain was they, when it came time for a vote, somebody passed out a bunch of tickets to a horse race, and a bunch of them went to the horse race instead of staying there to vote. So they had enough to pass it. You know, it's just, you know, politics. And that's what they were doing. Oh, we'll do it at night. And they had this great plan. But you know what Jesus said? He said there, when he said, let her alone, Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for she hath, for ye have the poor always, and where whensoever you will, you may do them good, but ye have not me always. She hath done this, what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. While they're sitting over there trying to figure out how we can do this, how are we going to catch him so that we can kill him? Jesus is like, silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. You're dealing with God here. I already know when I'm going to die. It's already planned. It's going to happen. He said, you know, he told them over and over again, he told them, I came for this purpose. To lay down my life. A ransom for many. They were doing all this. They thought they were really doing something. They didn't understand. They were just doing what God already had planned anyway. Is this already what God planned anyway? But she gave up her prophet. Nowadays, that's what people tell you. You know, you got to do what's good for you. And God says, you got to do what's good for others before yourself. Give up that prophet. There are a lot of things in this world that you can do. And I say amen with you, brother. He said he didn't know how to find a wife, didn't know how to find somebody. That's why I told God. I said, God, I don't have a clue how to find a wife. I said, God, do you know how many women are in this world? I'm asking God this question. Do you know how many women are in this world, God? Well, yeah. I said, how am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to do? He said, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. I'm done thinking about it. I'm done worrying about it. You done showed me what I'm supposed to look for. I got my list. Now you laugh. Everybody's got a list. Question you got to ask yourself is my list of God or of me? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's why these people get in trouble. You know, you think about people who they get married and they get divorced, and they marry somebody else and divorce them. They marry somebody else and divorce them. Do you not see a pattern? There's a reason that happens. It's the list. It's the list. Everybody's got one, and you reference it all the time. But you never examine it to see if it's right. That's why Paul put in there, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely. Why did he give us a list of things to think on? Why did he give us a list of things to think on? There must be a reason. Oh, I get it. He wants me to think on these things instead of their opposites. Because if I think on these things, he says, the God of peace will be with me. Oh, it's starting to turn over in a little noggin now. I remember when God showed that to me. I said, God, you're so smart. He is. He's so smart. She gave up her prophet to benefit him. That's what made her life memorable. Then notice, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? You ever have anybody ask you a question that way? What do you think you're doing? You ever had somebody say that to you? This did sound very familiar. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Why, you're not using sound judgment. You're not using sound reasoning. What's the matter with your brain? Doesn't it work? You ever had somebody ask you those questions? It might have 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Shame on you. They do that today. They do that today in the media. They do. Who are you to tell somebody who they can love and who they can't? You think you're better than them? You think you're better than people just because you're not gay? They're trying to make you feel bad. That's what they're trying to do. Trying to make you feel judgmental. I'm not judgmental. God's already judged that mess. He has. He's already made the judgment about it. I'm just repeating what He said. I'm not better than anybody. But I know sin when I see it. And I'm not going to say it's not sin, even if it was my sin. The day I got saved, you better believe, God rolled all my sin before my eyes. Isn't that what David said? My sin is ever before me. Whoa. I've done all that. But that's where forgiveness starts to come. When you see it and repent of it. But that's what they were doing. They were trying to make her feel bad. And a matter of fact, if you look in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, we can see who actually started this stuff about her. Look what it says. In verse number 2, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, and look, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Jesus didn't care about the poor. The Bible tells us a few verses later. He only said it in verse number 6. He said this, He said not that He cared for the poor. Now you see, I'm not judging Judas here, okay? God's already telling us what was in his heart. Not that He cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. You understand? He was stealing from the bag that was carrying around the money in it while he was walking with Jesus. That's what he was doing. Today, if you did that, that's called embezzlement. That's against the law. God said he was a thief. You know, I love the way God does things. He makes it very plain, and he attaches words to it that have a stigma with them so that you will feel the pain of your sin. He doesn't try to make up for it, make other words up for it. He didn't say, he had a disease. Or he wanted money all the time. He had a money disease. No, he said he's a thief. And he didn't say, well, you know, he just likes to have a woman on standby just in case. No, he said he's an adulterer. He's a whoremonger. God doesn't cut any. Pull any punches. I like it when he puts his finger on my heart and he says, you are doing this. You better stop it. I like it. I love God for that. What a great God who puts his finger on it and he makes it hurt so you'll understand that you're a sinner. Because until you know you're a sinner, you can't be saved. Amen. She gave up her pride. She gave up her pride. This is the woman who had seven devils. She didn't have a really good reputation. But when she met Jesus, all that changed. He cast him out of her. We don't get the account of it happening. We just know it did. What a day that must have been in her life when Jesus freed her from all that. What a thing. What a profound event in her life when Jesus freed her from those seven devils. So much so. And I you know, it's a funny thing. People who get freed tend to want to sit at Jesus' feet. It's amazing. The maniac of Gadara, what happened? They came and found him clothed in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. What do they find? Who was it? It was Martha who was coming about with much care. Who was sitting at the feet of Jesus? Mary was. He said, she's chosen the better thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. You might get jealous of people. They get so excited about knowing God, about serving the Lord. They get so excited about, well, I don't know Abraham. Because you're cumbered about too much care of the wrong things, amen? You need to get at the feet of Jesus. And it'll not be taken from you, amen? I'm so thankful. I love that song. Do you know how it feels? I know how it feels. I've been there at the feet. It's the greatest place to be. Amen. But to get there, she had to give up her pride. All those people talking about you. Asking you your questions. Self-appointed inquisitioners. Don't worry about them. You know, it's a true saying. If you stand for righteousness, those who don't love righteousness are always going to call you mean-spirited. They just are. And they might even be Christians. Amen? They might even be people who are Christians, are backslidden in their heart. They haven't learned to think about the right things, and especially about the thing you're talking about. They aren't thinking about the right things about it. And when you start talking about it, it makes them feel guilty, and so then they don't like it. And you're mean-spirited. You're judgmental. You, sir, are a legalist. Legalist. Woo, legalist. You use that. They use that word like that's the end all. You put the word legalist out there, and you put the lid on the coffin as far as they're concerned. I always pop that lid off. I say, well, legalism is adding works to salvation. You get saved and you work to keep it. That's entirely different from living biblical standards. Living the way I do because that's what the Bible says. The Word of God. Not the Word of Paul or Moses or Timothy or anybody else. It's the Word of God. God said so, it's so. God said no, it's no. That's easy to remember. It rhymes and everything. And that's all you got to know. Because you are going to have well-intentioned brethren. They're going to try to tell you you're just too uptight. You're too strict. I don't feel uptight at all. I feel free as the breeze in Christ. I'm glad he delivered me from such wrong thinking. I'm glad. He say, well, those are your standards. They're not my standards. I can show you pictures of me when I was in high school. Those are my standards. I would, but I'd be embarrassed to show them to you. What you see today is a result of what I've read in there. That's what you see. Not my standards, his. But you're going to have to give up your pride. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, Demas was a guy, he heard the gospel, he got saved, he started traveling with Paul, and they just ran into one or two few, too many people who, what are you doing that for? It's like they were doing to her. And he just couldn't stand it anymore. He couldn't take it. So he left. He didn't want to be the bump in the road. He didn't want to be that. He wanted to be liked by everybody. See, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not liked by anybody, so I don't have to worry about it. But people, there are people, they want to be liked by everybody. And they will sacrifice anything to be liked. You gotta give up the pride. That's what made her life memorable. She gave up her pride. She didn't care what those people said about her. I want you to notice what Jesus said. And this is another message, but I'm not going to preach it, but I'd like it. He said three things about her. He said, she did a good work. Let her alone. Why are you troubling her? What are you doing? I'm glad that God will stand up for me. Amen. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's what the Bible says. And I've seen it happen. Amen. When the wicked come in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Witnessing to somebody and other people start coming in and blah, 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 and you're like, what am I going to say? Well, the Lord raised up the standard. He says, oh, you want to fight? This is where we're going to have the fight. And you're going to lose. I've seen God do it time and time again. Time and time again. When I knew I wasn't smart enough to know what to say. They start talking all of a sudden. God starts saying, tell them this. Remember the Bible said that? Remember this? How about that? And pretty soon, they can't get a word in edgewise because I'm too busy quoting Scripture. God's so good. Let her alone. Why trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me. She did a good work. It says, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me and have not always. She did a good work. She did a giving work. She did a giving work. She gave of herself what she had. And he said there, she had done what she could. Now you need to remember this, folks. God never asked you to give what you don't have. God's not asking you to go down to the bank and take out a loan for $20,000 and put it in the church plate. He doesn't want what you don't have. He wants what you do have. She had done what she could. If she couldn't do this, then she did this. There's something, well, I could never do that. Do what you can. Do what you can. You might say, well, I can't play a mandolin. I can't either. But I'm doing what I can. Doing what I can. I'm not a genius. I don't have a bunch of books to sell. Nobody would want to buy any books if I wrote them anyway. But I got tracks. And there are people out there. I'm going to do what I can. I didn't write this, but it works for folks. She did a giving work. And she did a glorifying work. He said, she had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but this is an act that she did of her own volition, her own free will. She was there. She was thinking about Jesus and all he'd done for her. This woman loved him. She's the first one to see him when he raised from the dead. That's a privilege. There's only one person in eternity, and there's only one person in all of existence who is going to have that privilege. and it was her. Wow. Now, I'll never be able to say that. She was thinking about him and how much he loved her and what he'd done for her. And she grabbed that box. He's well worth it. But I think she had some idea of what was going on. Because Jesus said, she's done this beforehand for my burial. I think she had some understanding. She may not have got the whole picture. But I think she had some understanding when he did all that talk about, I am the resurrection and the life. And didn't I tell you, if you believe me, you'd see the glory of God? And then she saw her brother come out of the grave. He was sitting at the meal. He was there eating with them. Wow. And the Bible says that there's many people came to see Jesus as they did to see Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. Not just see Jesus, but to see what kind of work he does. He didn't stink or nothing. You don't think that might have started some gears turning in her head? You don't think that maybe God might have shown her just a little bit of something? All right. He's worth it. You know, we have 401ks and they tell you to buy gold because gold never decreases in value. And so you buy gold and you set it aside so that when push comes to shove, you'll have gold. Now, I've always wondered, what are you going to do with it? If you come to a point where you need gold to buy something with, then you aren't going to take paper money for it, are you? So what are you going to do? Are you going to melt it and make your own coin? I mean, I just think about these things. What are you going to do? I don't want to give anybody a penny-sized piece of gold, amen. You're going to have to cut it with something if you're going to use it. Not that I have any, but you know, that's what I'm just telling you, that's what the jewelers do, right? And she took it. That's what that box was. I think that was just her insurance policy. If things got really bad, I got this box of ointment. And it'll get me by for a year if I sell it. But Jesus was in the house. And God said, hey, I need you to do something. You need to go and pour that on him. All right. Made her life memorable. What are you doing to make your life memorable? What are you doing to make your life a memorial? Not so much for you, but for Jesus. Because while she said it would be spoken of a memorial for her, everything she did was about him. What are you doing as a memorial to Christ? Let's stand to our feet.